Welcome, my friends. I'm Dave Champion. This is my co-host, Bill Carnes. And together we are
totally unprepared.
All right, I got to tell you a funny story. I was at a local restaurant here in town, and I sat down to have a meal. And across the way, there's a couple of elderly women. And the one lady looks at me, and she gets this look on her face. Right? And she's, you know, and she goes, I watch your show. And then I said, oh, thank you. She goes, well, I used to.
Okay, there's a story brewing here.
Right, right. And so she says, but the profanity, I can't do, right. And I'm like, whatever, right? And she's like, yeah, I can't remember what show it was on. And the only one I can think of where I launched, okay, it's so funny because she blamed you. She said you were the guy, but the only
right, the guy that rarely takes that opportunity.
Right, you use profanity like 1% of the time that I do, right? And so in her elderly recollection, you're the evildoer, or at least she didn't want to blame me to my face. I don't know.
Well, now wait a minute. Did you leave me under the bus?
I did. I was like, whatever. But the funny
thing. Oh yeah, he's terrible with that.
Actually, what I told her is I'll tell Bill.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, you know, then the other woman says, "Well, you know, people who use profanity, they don't have very good vocabularies."
So. They must have stopped watching the show because they didn't see that segment.
Right, right. So I shared that with her, right? I said, well, just after...
Matter of fact, episode 48, we discussed that very thing.
I told her, just after the new year, in 2016, researchers released their paperwork where they showed, excuse me, based on their clinical research, that people who use profanity more often have a larger vocabulary than people who don't. And she says, well, it's perception. And I'm like, yeah, but we don't feed into wrong-headed perceptions, right? And so then she says, well, like your tattoos. People have a perception. I'm sure you've run into that.
You missed that episode as well, didn't you? You can't tell me you watched the show when everything you're telling me you haven't. No.
And I'm thinking, wait a second. Yes, I knew there was a public perception, and I did it anyway. And I know what the public perception is about profanity. And I do it anyway because I don't buy into false paradigms, right? But she's running false paradigm after false paradigm and saying, you know, well, you should watch your conduct.
It's been a lovely conversation, ladies. I'm going to refer you to totallyunprepared.info and read up on the headings and find those segments and watch those.
I just left them with your phone number.
Good.
Oh, speaking of that restaurant, same place, coincidentally.
Same day, different day?
Different day. I ran into... your good friend.
My good friend.
Deputy Joseph McGill.
Oh, the guy that falsely arrested
that
me and perjured himself on the arrest report.
Yes.
That guy.
Now.
Oh, yeah. Close buddy, that douche.
When we talked about this on the initial episode, right after you were falsely arrested, I had some...
You really made a couple of old ladies mad by launching into a cursing tirade.
Yes, I did, which ties into the old lady story because that was the episode that they started. And it was me who condemned him vociferously on the show and in the strongest possible language, including profanity. And, of course, since that's been vindicated by the DA, not the conclusions, not the
right.
Profanity. And so I'm standing up to leave. And, you know, head on a swivel, right? Be aware of your surroundings. I stand up from my booth and I look over, and here he comes. Right?
Walking towards you.
Right towards me.
Deputy McGill.
I mean, he's, you know, there's no question where he's going, right? And I had seen him sitting there with a couple of elderly gals in the restaurant. I mean, I knew he was present. I've seen him in that restaurant probably, I'm going to take a guess, 20 other times. But he's always been on the job with cops.
Okay.
This time he appeared to be on his own, I'm guessing his own personal time, unless the elderly people work for the sheriff's department. So
there are some.
He comes over. He's always in plain clothes. That's his detail. So I don't know whether he's working or not working. But he comes over to me. And he does this thing.
No, wait. Just curiously, has he got exposed gun badge on his...
He's got a black T-shirt on, which is so tight. I mean, you can literally see the shape of the gun printing dramatically through the garment.
Okay. So it's concealed, but he's got a...
Yes.
Saran wrapped over with
correct,
the shirt.
Correct. So, okay. And so, he'd used the restroom about 10 minutes earlier, so coming and going, I had noticed his Saran wrapped firearm.
Okay.
Black Saran wrap over his firearm.
That tells me, and if he didn't have an exposed badge, he was most likely on personal time.
Yeah. So, actually, when I've seen him working, he never has an exposed badge. Never.
Really?
He's always just in kind of a shirt like I'm wearing now. And anyway, so he's heading right towards me. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be fun. And he does this thing I do not understand. There's a particular kind of guy that does this. And it's a guy who thinks he's going to act tough and be a bully. You've run into it before. I've run into it before.
And I'm like, I've run into it with this guy.
And I'm thinking, do you not know who you're approaching? He gets right here in my face. Right here.
Personal space.
Oh, big time, right? Literally, his nose 8 inches from my nose. And he says, I want you to stop talking smack about me because you don't know shit. And I looked at him and I said, and I want you to stop falsely arresting people, and I'll make you a deal. You stop falsely arresting people, and I'll stop telling the public you're doing it. Okay? And then he hits this line, which we're going to talk about in a minute. You weren't there! To which all I could say was, I don't want to hear your shit. I mean, literally, that's what I told him. I don't want to hear your shit. And he wheeled around and stomped off. What a bonehead.
So I mean, the attempted bully thing didn't work.
You weren't intimidated
with it. And then he storms off.
Yes. Now, this thing about I wasn't there. Were you there?
I was there. As a matter of fact, I have the audio recording of it as well. So McGill's not going to be able to hide behind this. Wasn't there. What was said. What wasn't said. I haven't really let this out, but I have an app called Cop Block, and it was running. So I have Cop Block on this.
So you weren't there, okay? This is a mantra. We know the ones that cops use intentionally. when they've got a guy down on the ground and they're beating the bejesus out of him and he's all covered up and they'll yell, stop resisting!
Oh, yeah.
To cover what they're doing.
Yeah, and which, by the way, is standard police fair training to do that kind of crap.
They're now training to do that. Okay. The one that I saw that was the most egregious, two guys had a black guy down on the ground. They dragged him out of his car. Completely peaceful guy, right? Hands were in the windshield to make sure he didn't take a butt whooping. Hands up in the windshield. It doesn't get much more surrender than that. I don't have anything. I'm not touching anything. I don't want any trouble. They hauled him out of the car, face down. They're beating the bejesus out of him. Again, he's on the ground trying to cover up. There's a third officer coming around the vehicle, and one of the guys says, stop reaching for my gun! Okay. What did he want that third officer to do?
Well, he wanted to come over there and either get in on it or pull his gun out and cap the guy.
I think if you hear, stop grabbing my gun, this is what you do, right?
And just to caveat on this, I've been involved in firearms training where there were a number of police that were there taking this training. And the instructional staff told them, said, look, if you don't have time to yell something before you shoot, yell it after you shoot. You shoot them, remember to yell something like, stop, drop the gun, because witnesses will hear that, and some of them will say, oh, yeah, they heard it before the shots rang out. Others will say the opposite. The investigators will say that it happened beforehand, and guess what? You're in the clear.
Yeah.
This was the actual training. The cops were like, yeah, yeah, sounds good, sounds good.
You know, and I, here's my view on this. You weren't there. And I've also had it used by cops when we're talking about the conduct of another cop, and it starts to look very apparent that the cop was in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the cop I'm talking to, well, I can't really say I wasn't there, okay? And then if you say something or I say something, well, you weren't there, okay? Here's my thinking on this, because this is the ultimate cop-out for lack of accountability.
Sure.
Well, I wasn't there. You weren't there. Nobody was there. Nobody can say. I mean, talk about asinine. What year is this?
2016.
We
nowadays.
Have some technology in this in 2016?
We sure do, and we talk about it regularly.
You know, 20 years ago, when I got out of my unit, I carried one of the old micro cassette recorders with the wire up through my Sam Brown in my shirt, clipped up here just like this, okay? And when I got out of my unit or I was approaching somebody, I reached down, clicked the record button. I bought one where the record button was at the top. It was prominent. I couldn't miss it. So I always knew there was a little like a piece of plastic that guarded the button.
Right.
So I'd go to the plastic and just lean in. There's my record button, right? It was very simple, right through the fabric of my uniform. And with this, you know, well, you weren't there. I Googled a couple days ago these kinds of devices. Well, of course, today they're not microcassette, they're digital. For $20, you can get one that comes with this. And
lapel mic, yeah.
Yep, it has the feature that you can plug it into your computer and take the audio files, move them onto your computer, and then send them to whoever you need to send them to, if for law enforcement purposes, such as a prosecutor, fellow officers, supervisors, etc. So my thing is this. This is especially the case in Nye County, where I've heard this, you weren't there more than any place I've ever heard it before. If you are a Nye County deputy and you say you weren't there and you don't have audio in 2016, the bare minimum, you and I have talked about the fact that with body cams, who are the only cops who don't want to wear body cams?
The ones that aren't doing the job right.
The dirty ones.
Yep.
So in 2016, for $20, if a detective or a uniformed officer who's out in the field having contact with the citizens is not wearing it, bare minimum audio for those contacts, whatever he's accused of, in my book, he's guilty. Because we're not going to put up with this lack of accountability bullshit where the cop says, well, you weren't there. Great. Where's your fucking audio?
Where's your accountability? Where is your human accountability on
right.
this?
Right.
You know? And obviously McGill has none. Has no human accountability. He knows. I didn't tell him I was a cop. He knows I wasn't trying to get anything out of it. I was just talking with him about where my basis of knowledge was. I say P number. I didn't say I was a cop. Oh, well, that could mean anything. Anybody who's ever worked for Las Vegas Metro, if you're a friggin' janitor, you've got a P number. It means nothing on its own.
Right.
And, of course, what he didn't like was me beating him in the argument, him trying to tell me what the law was when I'm correcting him. That is not the case at all. This is not my everything with this registration-related thing. And as it turns out, he just wanted to win the argument. He wanted to win the pissing contest. And by doing that, he hooked me up under a false arrest and perjured himself. And it's not going to go unheard of.
So
I'm going to file all kinds of complaints and lawsuits and all that good stuff. It's going to come back up. So start figuring out your lies now and you know, get your perjury ready.
So what it was I can't win the argument, but I can handcuff you and take you to jail for losing with the argument.
You might beat the rap, but you won't beat the ride.
Yeah. And this is the same mentality of a guy who in a public place is going to approach me as the witness who was present said to me, she described his conduct later as getting in my face. Well, of course, yeah, he was trying. I've never understood men who try and do that intimidation thing. I mean, maybe
you can't beat it intellectually, so you try to do it by a big man. It doesn't work. We'll be back right after this.
We're back, and now it's time for once again, I would like to tell you a story. I've shared a couple of stories with you the last few weeks during my segment, and I'm going to share another one with you today. And they all deal with the professionalism of the Nye County Sheriff's Office. And today we'll be exploring yet another sterling example of the professionalism of the Nye County Sheriffs and the adverse, some might even say horrific consequences of a lack of professionalism on the Nye County Sheriff's Department. The consequences to us, the citizenry. Several months back, there were some complaints by a couple of teenagers against a principal at a high school up in Tonopah. High school principal's name is Alvin Eisman. And the complaints were made, and detectives from the Nye County Sheriff's Department went out and interviewed the girls that had made the complaints. And it wasn't anything like rape or anything like that. It would be, I think, the common person, not even that. Would be inappropriate, like touching with the elbows or the forearms. That was the kind of thing. Which, as you can imagine, that's a little tenuous. Inappropriate touching that doesn't involve this. I mean, accident? Not accident? So the Nye County Sheriff, the deputies, went out there and they interviewed him. Then they arrested him. And they publicized it. Basically, irrevocably damaging his public name and his career. And then the paperwork got sent over to the district attorney's office. And the district attorney's office scratched their head and said, why wasn't the county's procedure followed? We have a procedure when minors claim that an adult, most especially like a school official, has engaged in some sort of inappropriate conduct with a minor, we get an organization called the CAC involved. And the people who work for CAC, they are specifically and specially trained to deal with allegations of minors and to protect the minors and to protect adults from malicious accusations. Now, you're not going to get a malicious accusation probably from a 4 or 5 year old, but there are times that you're going to get a malicious accusation from somebody who's 15, 16, 17, if they're angry or they're resentful about something. So CAC is specially trained to be an advocate. That's what the A part stands for, to be an advocate for children, but also to safeguard the interests of adults who might, on a rare occasion, be falsely accused. I know if I was the adult, I would want people who are specifically and specially trained in how to address those matters to make sure that my rights, as well as the child's rights, were all looked after. But that's not what happened. So the DA says, wait, why wasn't CAC brought? I mean, this is the procedure we have here right here in Nye County. This is the way it's to be done. Why wasn't it done that way? Well, the girls told us their story, so we arrested him. What? So now, the DA says, well, we're not moving forward until we do two steps. We're going to get involved with the school district, and we're going to have this, we're jointly going to conduct an investigation with the school district, and we're going to bring in CAC to interview the girls, as should have been done in the first place. What happened before was just a couple detectives went out. They interviewed the girls. The girls said, you did it. You're going to jail. Okay. Well, it turns out when CAC gets involved, they determine that, and remember, CAC has no connection to anybody. CAC is not a law enforcement agency. It is not connected to the Nye County Sheriff's. It is not connected to the DA. It is not connected to the school district. It exists for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to address accusations of inappropriate conduct between adults and minors. That's its sole function in life. It is not aligned with any organization. It has no bias. It has no prejudice. So CAC gets involved, and they come back to the DA, and they say, the girls were not telling the truth. They were mad at the principal, so they said these things. And there's a video. Yes, there was video that shows interaction at the time of the alleged event. And it shows the principal literally just walking and just his arm brushes the side of a girl. He's not even aware it happened. His arm brushes her and he walks on. How many times has that happened to you? I know it's happened to me. There's nothing inappropriate. There's no sexual assault there. There's nothing. But yet the Nye County Sheriff's Department didn't follow its protocols, splashed all over the news that Alvin, what was the last name, Bill?
Iceman.
Iceman, thank you. That Alvin Iceman was arrested for molesting these girls while he was principal of that high school. The Nye County School District investigators also determined the same thing as did CAC, that it was not even remotely true. It was all fabricated, and it was to get back at this principal, Mr. Iceman. So he'd been on administrative leave, as is appropriate when an allegation like that is made. And so the school district does something that I have never seen a school district do in all my years on this planet. They issued one of the most strongly worded press releases I've ever seen, to include language such as, he was completely innocent. He should never have been arrested. There was no validity to the charges against him. There was zero credibility. Okay? They came out and worked overtime to make the point that this guy was actually the victim. He was the victim once when the girl said things that weren't true. He was the victim a second time when Nye County detectives, instead of following proper procedure, just acted like cowboys. Well, the girls told us, so we arrested him. Why does the Nye County School District have the ability to investigate if you're not going to get them involved? Why is it written into the county procedures that CAC is to be involved and to question the accusers if you don't use the procedure? The procedure is there to make sure that innocent citizens such as Mr. Eisenman are not crucified falsely. That's why the procedure's there. But again, shoddy, unprofessional law enforcement work by the Nye County Sheriffs virtually destroys this man's reputation. I'll tell you how much. They put him back to work. They didn't send him back to Tonopah. They put him down here in Pahrump as the new principal of one of the elementary schools. All people knew were the headlines. The first day he went to work, I think I heard that 86 students did not show up. Their parents did not let 86 students go to school that day in protest. In protest for what they saw in the headlines, which is a direct result of the boneheaded, unprofessional conduct of the Nye County Sheriff's Department. Bill?
Well, I wonder if the Sheriff's Department will go one step further, because if any of these parents talked before they didn't send their children to school, that would be conspiracy to commit student truancy, which conspiracy to commit any crime in Nevada is a felony. Are they going to look into this, check the phone records, and arrest a whole bunch of parents for felony conspiracy to keep their kids out of school? No, probably not. Because this is all based off of what is now, what would now be fruits of the poisonous tree. Look that up in your definition book there, scholars.
And this is not just limited to Mr. Eisenman. You're probably aware that the thing that has become popular is that young girls will take pictures of themselves in various stages of undress, and then they text them to guys they like at school. Okay,
We're talking about underage, under 18, minors.
Yes.
Juveniles, in fact. Juveniles, not minors.
And I don't think any parent digs that or wants that to happen, and I appreciate that. It has to be addressed, obviously. Well, it happened here in town at our schools here, the middle school and the high school. Now, I remember as a young man at, like, parties and stuff, you know, when I was, I don't know, 13, 14, you know, going off someplace and, you know, going up under the girl's blouse. And I mean, this is what kids do, teenagers do, right? They're filled with, you know, they're filled with hormones and they're ready to go. You want to stop it, but there has to be an appreciation that you're dealing with the same dynamic that teenagers have been exhibiting since there were teenagers on the planet.
Sure.
Right?
We're talking about thousands of years of evolution and, well, thousands of generations.
Right. And it's going to be going on 5,000 years from now if we're still on this planet, okay?
Yeah, if we make it that way.
Yeah, it's the nature of teenagers to get involved in this kind of stuff. Well, one of the detectives here in town wanted to round up all of the teenagers, even if you just received one, like you didn't ask for it, you just received it, okay? Wanted to round up all these teenagers and charge them with felony charges for pornography, kiddie porn.
Yeah, that and so if somebody wanted you or me or anybody else to be charged with that, they would send a picture to you and then rat you out to the cop,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I mean, the idea that you take an objectionable teen behavior that needs to be handled, but it needs to be handled the way that mature adults know how to handle
it. Needs to be handled at home with the parents is what it needs to be handled with, Dave.
But no matter who handles it, there's ways and then there's ways, right? And so we've got these sphincters down at the sheriff's department wanting to hook all these kids up for felony child pornography charges.
And what's that going to do for their future?
Right.
Well, my goodness.
How is this helping? And then some of them would
it's
be
small minds.
And then they have to register as sex offenders for the rest of their
life. Yeah, it's small minds.
Yes. And this is what we've got going on with the Nye County Sheriff's Department.
Like that douche canoe McGill who arrested me for impersonating a police officer. Now, I'm going to have to work to get that sealed or even better expunged because, you know, there was no probable cause there. And that's going to cost me time and money and effort and energy in order to do that. And he had to know that that was going to be on my record anytime anybody pulls me up, unless I go through the courts to get that squashed.
Sure.
That it's going to pop right on up there, and there's going to be questions. I actually had deputies who worked in the jail when I was in there, the corrections deputies, why did you tell this guy you were a cop? Well, thank you for asking. I didn't.
Well, it's just like the 23-year-old man, young man that I spoke to about a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They booked him on 3 felonies when they didn't have probable cause for anything.
They didn't have reasonable suspicion anymore by the time they booked him, according to the story you told.
Correct. They had no reasonable suspicion to continue detaining him. They had no probable cause for an arrest. And yet this young man now has... As a matter of public record, he was arrested for 3 felonies.
So do the investigative work first. Long form it if you need to. Then go back so you're not destroying lives and futures unnecessarily.
And
the goddamn work.
Do you want to be the victims of these yahoos? And we'll be back.
It's my turn. You know what really grinds my gears? Hypocrisy! Dave, I'm bringing you right in right now.
Okay.
Here's the hypocrisy. All right? We have Justice Antonin Scalia, by far the most foundational Supreme Court justice we have, and has been serving since the Reagan administration, right?
29 years on the bench.
Yeah.
So on that bench, Supreme Court.
He just dies this last weekend.
Yep.
Right? So you have the Republicans that are saying, look, it's Obama's last year, he's got 11 months left. We want to wait until the next president elected. Obama's already appointed 2 people, Sotomayor and Kagan. He doesn't get a third, especially since the balance has been about perfect. You got 1 swing vote in Kennedy, mm-hmm. and then you've got 4 libs and 4 conservatives. So it's about as balanced as it can possibly be. Scalia being the most heavily balanced on the conservative side. Now, Obama's going to want to throw that all the way to the other side. You have these senators that... were Democrats saying that when George W. Bush had 18 months left, the presidential cycle hadn't even really ramped up.
Right.
18 months left, they said, when it was time to replace whoever it was that he finally got on there. Whatever justice it was, just before Sotomayor, I forget. Robertson? Was it Robertson? Was it
Robertson?
Roberts.
John Roberts?
I think it was Roberts.
Anyhow.
And they said, with 18 months to go, there's no reason this Republican president should put and nominate a new Supreme Court justice. Screw that. Let's wait for the next president.
And that's not the only time. Back in the 60s, the same thing happened, and it was a Republican president, and the Democrats actually passed a House resolution saying that the president should not nominate a replacement until the next president comes in.
Right. But a lot of these senators are still in office now when Bush left,
sure.
saying this. And, of course, that total scumbag Chuck Schumer was one of them, speaking all out against this 8 years ago under Bush. Now he's changed his tune. He's speaking absolutely against what he had said before. Total opposite.
Yeah.
Absolute hypocrisy. So I know that there's a space that's open,
yes.
right? My top 2 picks are in no particular order. The guy that's on Fox News, what's his name? I can't believe I judge.
You're acting like me with the bad memory thing.
Yeah, what is the guy's name? The guy that's Napolitano.
Judge Andrew Napolitano.
Andrew Napolitano, yes. Or Dave Champion.
Hey!
Those are my 2 top picks, right?
Yeah. I actually had somebody send me an email like within hours of his death.
That was me.
No, somebody else. On the Dave Champion's Liberty page, they sent me a private email. They said, dude, there's an opening now for you on the court.
There you go. So the hypocrisy of this whole thing where the Democrats and the Republicans have opposite stories 8 years ago, and then they switch sides now.
Right.
And, you know, regardless of how it goes, and I got to say, if Obama does get a pick and the Senate caves and puts him in there, that's fine. The Constitution doesn't say how many justices that there has to be on there.
Right.
It's up to the president to nominate. It's up to the Senate to approve and place. It has to be an odd number. Currently, there's 9. It's been as few as 5. It's been 7. It's been 9.
Actually,
if Obama gets his way,
it doesn't have to be an odd number.
I was pretty sure it did have to be an odd number.
I don't believe the Constitution specifies any number whatsoever.
Maybe I shouldn't be so totally unprepared. I should look it up before next week. But the point is let's say that Obama does get his appointment. The next one that comes in, appoint 2 more.
By the way,
make it 11.
I would imagine that the number since FDR tried his packing the court scheme
mm-hmm.
during the New Deal era,
yeah.
I would imagine that if you anyone who's alive today thinks the number 9 is enshrined in the Constitution because it's been 9 ever since FDR.
Right.
And my thing is, whatever side they're arguing, you know, 8 years ago or now, the Constitution says it's the president's duty to nominate, and it's the Senate's duty to advise and consent. Okay? So, to me, there's no question, and it's not partisan on my part. I mean, I think Obama's a sphincter. Okay? I would rather not see a nominee from Obama. As you pointed out, he's going to try to get somebody from the left in. And I would prefer that not be the case. But I'm not going to argue against the process, because actually I'm going to argue for him nominating somebody, because it's what the Constitution demands.
I would agree.
Yeah, and the Senate has to do its thing. If the Senate screws around, I'm going to have a problem with that. Now, if you don't like who he nominates, keep writing him off the board until he gives you somebody you're willing to confirm.
I would much rather see that. I would much rather see Obama nominate somebody and the Senate kick it loose over. I'm doing your little motion now.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. And like a new one every 2 or 3 months, because that's a lengthy process. And you know what else it'll do? It'll tie up the Senate. When either House of Congress is in session, we, the people, get screwed.
Yes.
We get it in the shorts. When we have them busy doing other things, guess what?
Yeah.
We don't get so hosed. I don't care if they stay busy doing this for the next 11 months. I really don't. Actually, I should say I would prefer them to do that.
And, you know, the other thing that's interesting I find about the U.S. Supreme Court, again, today's perception versus how it is, I would imagine that most people think to get nominated to the Supreme Court, you have to be either bare minimum an attorney or you have to be a long-serving judge.
Oftentimes, they believe it comes from a federal judge position.
Right. There's no requirement in the Constitution whatsoever. And historically, if you look at the court prior to the 1960s, a good many of the justices and those that actually ended up as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court were not lawyers and had never sat as a judge.
Elena Kagan had a law degree, really never practiced with it. Now she's a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah. Earl Warren.
Yeah, the Warren Commission.
Was never a judge. He was a political pick.
Right. But he was part of the Warren Commission and later served, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. And, you know, of course, I think actually that the Supreme Court, him getting on the Supreme Court was the bribe that they paid for the way he handled things in the Warren Commission, such as the magic bullet, you know, the completely pristine bullet found sitting on a stretcher at the Dallas hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, the bullet that shot Kennedy. Just happened to be laying on.
It just showed up. Just showed right up.
Like, yeah, who would believe such a thing, right? But the Warren Commission, under the leadership of Earl Warren, wrote that up officially as the bullet that killed John F. Kennedy. It's like, right. So I think.
And you couldn't compare it to the brain because the brain came up missing.
Correct. And, well, you know the ballistics of a, mm-hmm. of a rifle like that. You're not going to shoot
six,
a round and
6.5 Carcano.
And have zero deformation in the round.
Especially considering that it allegedly went through him and into the governor.
Right, and hit bone, supposedly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and then later people tried to claim that the rifling was deformation. You're like, mm-hmm. no. No, rifling is not deformation. Deformation is when the round actually changes its overall dimensions.
Like they fired that thing and then went out in the desert and picked it up. There was so little deformation in it.
Right, right. And I'm guessing maybe shot it into some sort of water tank. You know how fast water impedes the
and
speed.
You know, though, it would have almost had to have been the muzzle in the water as well, because if it struck the water,
oh, could be.
That's going to deform as well. But if you fire it with the muzzle in the water, you're going to get more of what you saw.
Yeah. And during the 19th century, it was very common for people who were political allies to be nominated to the Supreme Court and confirmed. And they were not attorneys. They were not judges. You know, and I, as much as this sounds odd here in 2016, I wouldn't mind seeing it go back to some extent to that. Okay. I don't know if I would want 9 chairs all occupied by, you know, one guy's a plumber, one guy's an electrician. I don't know if I would want that. But if there's people who, for instance, I hate to use myself as an example, but somebody who's spent 20 years, 25 years self-studying the law, and, you know, probably, I think you would agree, probably knows more about the law, actually, than many attorneys do.
Absolutely.
But I have the perspective from not having operated within government, not having been a assistant U.S. attorney, not having been a federal judge, not having been a member of the bar. I think it would be healthy for our country if interested, involved citizens who feel passionately about liberty and about the law, but we're not part of the system.
I would imagine that on Obama's top few list that is narrowing down, you've got to have Eric Holder on there.
I would imagine he's on it, and I heard some scuttlebutt. I have no way to know whether it's accurate or not. You know how this thing goes. Mm-hmm. The media, everybody wants to get, you know, the click factor. So I saw an article, the headline that, you know, Loretta Lynch is in the running.
We hardly even know who this woman is.
Yeah, exactly. My thing is, if she had already announced that she was going to take the Hillary Clinton email scandal to a grand jury, I might consider that enough to say, let's consider her, not a yes or no.
What about Hillary Clinton as a Supreme Court justice? She's an attorney. What about Michelle Obama, who's an attorney?
Is it the Clintons or the Obamas that no longer actually part of the bar?
The Obamas. They both handed in their bar.
Uh-huh. Their bar card?
Bar card, yeah, if you will. But that doesn't mean that she couldn't be nominated. I mean, literally, anybody can be nominated, right?
Right. There is no restrictions at all.
I think you need to be a U.S. citizen.
Presumably.
For that matter, you and I both know a guy. He was born in England, immigrated to Canada and then into the U.S. many years ago, who is more well-read on the Constitution than just about anybody born here for the most part, with very little exception. I mean, you're, of course, very well-read on it. I've learned from the two of you quite a bit, done my own research, but a guy locally here in Phil Hyder.
Yes, very intelligent. And perhaps, I mean, I like Phil as a person. I like Phil as a scholar of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. To define our differences, he might be a bit of a stickler for his interpretations that maybe I don't think are necessarily as valid as they could be, but we're talking about a family squabble here.
Right. Okay. We're talking about a little bit of minutia, if you will.
Yes, but the part I love about Phil is his his passion for the research and for understanding the material and understanding the consequences of these decisions that have been made. And with that, he wouldn't have bothered for all of this if he didn't love liberty passionately.
Oh, he's absolutely passionate about
yes.
it.
Yes. Why don't we have somebody like that? And if somebody said, Dave, how about Phil Hyder? Okay, put Phil on the court. Absolutely. Instead of these people who are being nominated who come directly out of the government system.
Yes.
I think at this point, the United States Supreme Court is almost looking inbred. It's almost like politics. They say, you know, Republicans and Democrats, it's two cheeks of the same butt, right?
I wouldn't be surprised at all if Nevada's Governor Brian Sandoval tried through his political connections to get nominated, because he's a Republican, but he's an incredibly left-leaning Republican.
Yeah.
And this would be Obama's version of getting basically his way, and a guy who served as a federal judge before being governor, and might actually find his way in there, be the left-leaning way, but since he's a Republican,
I just wonder if they only come out of the system, does it really matter?
Probably not.
We'll be back.
Welcome back. It's now segment four. This is where we go through your viewer emails. You can always send us those emails. We've been getting quite a few. You know, we asked about, you know, where do you guys watch? You watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
And we've been getting those, which is nice to hear. Keep sending those sorts of things in and topics you'd like for us to talk about. It doesn't have to be politics. It can be politics, entertainment, general information. We've talked about guns and ammo and shooting and stuff like that. That's always fun. So DaveAndBillShow@gmail.com. That is the email address to send them to. In addition, you can go online and send this to your friends, family, coworkers, all those who you think would just love watching this show.
That's right.
Both of those
people. Tell people we're out here,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, both of those people that want to watch. Right here, totallyunprepared.info. You can check us out right there. All of the shows that we have.
We're way better than network hacks.
Yeah. We're online, baby. This is worldwide.
That's right. Over the World Wide Web, baby.
We are. As a matter of fact, speaking of electronics, we have a situation that just made its way through the initial part of the court system. The FBI has the iPhone, you have one of those, of the shooter in San Bernardino, but they can't get the information off. There's 18 minutes of time unaccounted for. They want to know who they were in contact with. These were smashed near their home, I understand. They believe it's theirs. But Apple has such a good encryption in there. If you try 10 times unsuccessfully to unlock the phone, it wipes everything. And they don't want to have that. Apple has refused to provide the federal government the way to get past that.
Right.
And they have fought that because, look, we don't want to give it to you guys, quite honestly. You know, you don't want to give your proprietary technology out. You certainly don't want to give it out to anybody who's going to abuse it. And what has the federal government proven every single time they've ever had anything from private industry?
Once they have it, they'll use it for whatever they want.
The fairest purpose is that they abuse it.
Yes.
They don't care about constraints of the Constitution. I ain't going to wipe with that.
Patriot Act, it was 5 months, five whole months until the U.S. DOJ used aspects of the Patriot Act for non-terrorist activities.
Yeah.
A whole 5 months.
Yeah, which is about how long Hitler was Chancellor of Germany before he had control of the entire country.
So you give these guys this much, and they're going to abuse it.
Yeah, they just need you to crack the door before they can kick it down and cut an even bigger hole for everybody else to follow behind.
So Tim Cook, the CEO.
CEO said, no, we're not going to do that. Basically what they're offering, and they'll take it to court to get through this, they're offering, bring the phone to us. You can bring an agent or two to watch. We're not going to provide to you any of this.
Yes.
We'll get past the security features.
We're not going to allow you to know how we get past.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so, I want to be clear for the audience. Apple itself has no way to get past the encryption. Okay? What Apple is offering to do is to nullify the 10 times and then it wipes the database clean. To nullify that feature. Okay? It still doesn't mean the government can see what's on the phone. It's the government's job then to get through the encryption. Apple has told the government, we can't break the encryption. The encryption key resides in the instrument. We, Apple, do not possess the key to decrypt the encryption. Okay? That's generated within the phone by the user. In the background, the user doesn't even know they're creating it. Okay? So they said, we'll take away the feature that wipes it after 10 attempts, but we can't even get in. If it's encrypted, we can't even get into it. So that's the distinction in the feature-wise, what they're doing and what they're not doing.
Depending on how all this sorts out, I used to use BlackBerrys, which have the same feature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but BlackBerrys, I know one guy that uses a BlackBerry right now. Good buddy of mine, and he tried to go to a Samsung, he's back on BlackBerry, just won't leave it. It's like, you know, he's going to have a brick phone sort of thing.
I used to tease you mercilessly about that BlackBerry.
You did, but you know what? I liked the phone, and it was good stuff. But I finally went to a Samsung. But I have to say, if this thing plays out the way I hope it does, my next phone will be an iPhone. And I've desperately avoided Apple products because everything is so tied in, and I've always been concerned about that. You know, I have my iPhone, my iPod, my iPad, my iTV, my eye. So
it does cause you to tend to want to drink the Apple Kool-Aid.
And I'm not a fan of that idea. As a matter of fact, speaking of that, when they changed from, I think, the 4 to the 5, they had a different power outlet. So they had to buy all of your different eye accessories all over again, or your eye adapters to make them work.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of garbage. So I'm not a fan of that.
But in defense of Apple, that change took it from something that was good to something that was phenomenal.
Gooder. Better?
Better, longer lasting. The cords weren't going to come apart. The where they meet up wasn't going to deteriorate over time. I mean, it was a very superior move. Basically, they said, okay, we did as good as could be back 7 years ago. Now we have something way better. You can't blame them for introducing something way better.
No, you can't do that, I guess. Yeah. But what I'm saying is I will personally consider getting into an iPhone if this is the case.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the point being that Apple, what they're saying to the government is, we'll remove that feature from that one phone because you have a warrant and now you've used the All Writs Act to give us an independent third party an order.
Okay? Yeah, but we will not provide to you the technology to remove that off the phone.
Correct. And I think when it gets to court, the judge is going to say to the FBI, if they're doing something for you which enables you to get to the end conclusion of your warrant, why are we here?
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Now, we've been made aware of a story in Brooklyn, okay, where you have, let me try to set this up here. You got a guy who's got a pair of like throwback Air Jordans worth like $500 or $600 or something on Craigslist, arranges to meet a guy who's a potential buyer. He's got a little, what is it, Honda Pilot, one of those things that looks kind of like a toaster of sorts, I think.
It's like a small SUV.
Okay. And so the buyer gets into the seller's car, and instead of presenting cash, he presents a gun.
Yes.
Takes these Jordans and walks.
Yeah. And gets out and leisurely strolls away.
Strolls away. So the driver backs up, comes around, sees the guy, and hits him with the front of the car to pin him against a fence to hold him for the cops. He's effecting a citizen's arrest.
Yes. Yes.
And what happens from there?
It's a wrought iron fence. Mm-hmm. And I guess when the car pushed him, his arm went between and then the car continued to push him. So he went one way and his arm stayed there. So he lost the arm. Now he's okay.
I wonder if it was gun hand. I wonder.
I hope. We can only hope. So they tried to get his arm put back on. Apparently it didn't work.
And now he looks like the drummer of Def Leppard.
He ran off without his arm and passed out, and they had to take him to the hospital. So he's recovering in the jail.
Those Jordans cost an arm and a leg.
and he only had to pay an arm.
Well, at least he didn't lose one of his legs. He can still wear a pair of Jordans once he's better, right?
Yeah. Now, the part that irks me about this, and I'm always all the more irked when stuff like this happens on the Dave Champion's Liberty page. It's like, it's liberty. Get with the program. Why are you here if you don't believe in liberty? So, Bill, how much force is a citizen able to use to effect an arrest?
Well, it's the same criteria as cops. As much as necessary to effect the arrest, considering the crime.
Yeah, up to and including lethal force.
Lethal force, okay. Yes.
That is the law. If I see somebody commit a felony...
You can't use lethal force to effect an arrest of someone who's... say, trespassing,
yes,
or jaywalking.
Well, I can if he becomes physical, and during the arrest, now my life is at risk. Okay, I can use deadly force.
If the suspect continues to up the ante. Now, in this case, we have the suspect who opened this entire exchange with a gun with deadly force. Right. So, I don't mean to keep pointing my muzzling you.
Well, with our finger gun, it's okay. So now, the driver, because he knew that the suspect had a gun, he did not have the latitude to get out of the car and physically place him under arrest. He didn't have a weapon. He'd get shot. But he did have a weapon.
Well, no, he was in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the victim, the driver, the seller, he did have a weapon, didn't he?
His car.
So he used...
which kill far, far, far more people than guns.
He used the only weapon that he had available that would overcome the weapon in the possession of the felon. And he said to the cops, it was not my intent to kill him. I was pinning him. My goal was to pin him against the fence so that the cops would have a chance to capture him. That's called a citizen's arrest. And I was appalled that people were saying, oh, I'm glad they arrested. I think they arrested him for attempted murder. That they arrested him. He should have just called the cops. What kind of sackless asshole would say that? He committed a felony. And he committed the felony right to the guy's face. There's no question in the mind of the victim he's a felon. I mean, a third party might say, well, the life of the earlier one, well, I wasn't there. But the victim knows he's a felon, right? And he uses the only weapon that he has to overcome the amount of force that could be placed against him, which would take his life. Potentially, to pin him to, and people are saying he should have just called the cops.
Now, I got to ask you, Dave, if this was a police officer that was the seller, and in this case, the victim of this armed robbery, who then turned around and did this, he would be getting a commendation.
Yes, and didn't that happen? We watched this, 4 or 5 months ago? A guy had been seen with a gun, some people called the cops, oh yeah, we saw him, he was holding a gun. And so the cops are following, and this is from dash cam footage. Mm-hmm. One cop is following along, and then you see the dash cam footage from the other car. And this guy
speeds past him.
Speeds past the car that's surveilling him.
Plows him down.
Runs him down. You see the guy fly.
Yeah. Hits the guy. hits a short block wall fence about 3 feet
yeah,
tall.
Wrecks the police car,
wrecks the fence.
And puts the guy down. He has to go to the hospital.
Yeah, this is about a year ago this
yeah.
happened.
And what happened to that officer?
I think he got a commendation, didn't he? Everything yeah. was fine.
Right.
So here's the same sort of situation. You know, you talk about the rules are applied differently. The rules are applied differently. They're not supposed to be. Remember this whole thing? People call it the Declaration of Independence. It's actually the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. Far more powerful name if you think about it. Citizens there, all men are created equally. This is supposed to be under the eyes of the law, politically and under the eyes of the law. But it's not the case. Cops and citizens get treated differently by prosecutors. You know, like the cop that came up on the accident, shot the guy in the friggin' neck.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
it's the same
prosecuted.
With politics. I mean, look at Hillary Clinton. For God's sake, she's still roaming the streets.
And my comment is always this. If we're not the cops, how can we delegate power to the government to create cops? We are the cops. The
yep.
cops are our backup. This guy did exactly what Americans with testicular fortitude are supposed to do. He effected an arrest and then called the cops. And then the cops acted like he was the wrongdoer.
Yeah,
and these people on my webpage, holy cow.
The government governs by authority of the governed, which we provide to them. We'll be back next week.
Take care.